Early last week, the state commission that governs Washington's new charter schools rejected an improvement plan from Seattle's first charter school. First Place Scholars has struggled since it converted from a private school to a public charter in September. The principal of the school resigned last month. More than half of the school's board of directors also quit. Steve Sundquist chairs the Washington State Charter School Commission. The commission put First Place Scholars on probation. Sundquist says the commission has identified more than a dozen potential problems the school has to fix in order to stay open.
Let's begin at student safety. So one of the issues in public schools, of course, is you want to make sure that all of the people who have unsupervised access to children have all been checked, if you will, by law enforcement and that sort of thing. And so while we're confident that the staff meets that, they don't have documentary evidence of that. And so some of it is very, very basic and foundational and should be easily remedied by them from an administrative perspective. Then other issues, which are frankly more challenging from the perspective of the students, are things like the lack of a special education instructor. And they've got a large population of students with IEPs there who need services.
This school was in existence before it became chartered. It was an independent private school. Would it have had the same, or did it have the same kinds of problems before it became a charter school?
When it existed as a private entity, it was a combination social service agency because, of course, we're dealing with kids with multiple traumas. Many families there are homeless, and so there were homeless services, a variety of social services available to those families, as well as the school. And from my understanding, the students would generally not be in that school all the way from kindergarten through fifth grade. They might be there for a year or two as they and their families found services, got stable in the community, etc., and then they would move into the traditional public system or private, whatever their family's choice was. But of course, it's now made a transition to a separate social service agency and then this chartered public school. And so there's a level of public visibility and scrutiny about the educational product there. And so I think that what we really have here is a case of heightened visibility from a public perspective.
How long does the school have to correct the shortcomings?
Well, they have a variety of deadlines they need to meet. For things like hiring a special ed instructor, there's a January deadline. So you could actually go out to our website now and see the specifics of the interaction formally between the commission and the expectations they have to meet. They are technically on probation for a year. If and when, we hope, they meet all of our conditions at that point in time, they can appeal to us and say, we've met your conditions. We'd like to come off probation and go back to having the degree of autonomy we expected to have as a public charter school.
What would happen to the kids who you mentioned have multiple difficulties if First Place Scholars closes?
Well, if they closed, presumably the Seattle Public Schools, surrounding districts, depending on where those families were coming from, and perhaps private entities would clearly jump in to help. We would do everything we could to facilitate transitions for those students back into those entities. But yeah, that's an outcome nobody wants.
At this point, the children who are enrolled will be able to finish this current academic year?
That is the expectation, correct, yes.
We're talking about First Place Scholars, the state's first operating charter school, and I'm talking with Steve Sundquist, who's chair of the Washington State Charter School Commission. As I mentioned, this was the first charter school, and I believe right now the only one that's in operation since voters approved the charter school referendum 2 years ago. Eight more are in the pipeline to open. What do the First Place Scholars' problems portend for those schools, if anything?
Well, I hope, you know, since we're dealing with a sample size of one here, that they are not predictive of what we'll see in the sector. I don't believe they will be. I think it's the nature of things that operating a public school is difficult. It's difficult to do well in the best of circumstances, particularly when you're serving a highly at-risk population like this. And so it's not surprising to see a school struggle out of the gates. And since this is the first one with lots of visibility and lots of people watching, we're hearing more about it. I frankly expect we'll see, since we've got a number of schools starting next fall, that you will see the vast majority of them start much more easily and seamlessly than this start, and ultimately be successful in serving kids really, really well.
Are those schools online to open serving as challenging populations as First Scholars serves?
Maybe not quite as challenging in the sense that their mission is specifically targeted at highly traumatized children. But they are, in each case, they are serving substantial portions of at-risk students, which is what the law really intends in the state of Washington. So we're dealing with populations in South Seattle, high incidence of poverty, in Highline, in Kent, the central area of Tacoma as an example. So what I think has been great from my perspective to see is the law intended to provide these families with some high-quality options for some of our state's most at-risk kids. And the operators are stepping up and asking to serve these missions are, in fact, going right to those natural places. So I'm hopeful. The populations, of course, aren't identical, but they are kids that the entire public system is struggling to serve well.
Steve, as you put together, once the voters passed this referendum and the charter schools became a legal thing to happen, what kind of safeguards or policies did the commissioner or the state put in place to anticipate that some of the challenges that we're seeing with first place scholars?
Well, of course, we had essentially what we had as a base statute at that point in time, which laid out pretty clearly what the expectations were of the public with regard to who to serve, and it definitely focused on serving them with quality programs as opposed to simply choice. But we've had to define in rule underneath the law, you know, what does a quality board look like? What are we looking for when we approve an application? What are the characteristics of an application that's likely to translate into a great educational opportunity for kids? And so all of that has been defined.
So in this issue with First Place Scholars, what have you on the commission learned that will help you ease the way for the other eight or so schools that come online in the next year?
Well, I think that, certainly what we're learning is it's clearly advantageous when possible, but it's not always possible to know who the school leader is going to be and all of the people who are going to be on that board. You'd like to know as much as possible at the time in which you make an approval decision about the state of finances of the applicant, because one of the challenges that's inherent in this law is that once we approve the school, folks will start to incur expenses. They may need to hire a school leader. They're going to do outreach to the community before they ever see any revenue from the state. And so there's a need to fundraise in advance. And so the capacity of the group to be able to set the conditions for the school to open successfully is important. It's also hard to measure.
Sure.
So I don't think anyone is going to be perfect at this, but I think we are clearly getting smarter about it as we go.
Steve Sundquist is chair of the Washington State Charter School Commission.